pictures of my children when they were little, and I want to go back there. I'd be lying if I said I didn't. I want to take them in my arms. I want to feel the soft roundness of their cheeks pressed against mine. I love those days. I mean, what is more beautiful than a new baby? Have you ever noticed how... Okay, so now I understand some of you are saying, well, okay, a child who's grown up is more beautiful. I get that. But you know, you ever notice how when you walk into a room with a baby, like there's all, you know, people gather around. You know, they want to take a look because life is precious. It's a gift from God. It's His creation. And on this earth, there's only one thing more beautiful than a new baby. You know what it is?
When they move out,
that's a beautiful thing. But I'm kind of going in the direction of when the old man moves out and the new man moves in. Okay, in other words, there's this letter. Wow, I have kept this letter since October 1993. It was a letter I got from a church member. Charlie was a chemistry professor in Texas. And we lived close to the Texas-Oklahoma border. And Charlie had an alcohol problem for years. But then God changed him. And one day, in a worship service, something happened. And Charlie wrote, "Wow, what a great day yesterday was. It was such a thrill for me to join the church yesterday. Cheryl and I both didn't want the day to end at all. I have a lot to be thankful for this year, James. Halloween marks 1 year for my climb from a personal rock bottom. There's only one reason why I have anything at all to be thankful for: God's grace. Our church helped me to see God and let Him into my heart for the first time in my life. It truly saved me, too. I don't know where I would be today if I hadn't let Jesus into my heart. Certainly, I would be without Cheryl, his wife, and Katie, their child, and maybe even my job." And he was a PhD in chemistry at a university in Texas. "Maybe even my job, that's how bad it was for me, James. Looking back now, it all seems like a lifetime ago. I really have been reborn. Metaphorically, I've crawled out of the desert and drunk at the true fountain of life, and I can't get enough." The Bible takes a beautiful picture of what Charlie is describing. Here it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you see it? Do you see it there? In those words, inspired by the Spirit, in all of God's creation, there is nothing more beautiful than a soul that is made new through Jesus Christ. And if your eyes are open, sometimes you can even see it physically. Now granted, it's something that's spiritually discerned, but sometimes God's light shines so brightly from within that it shines from the inside out. Oh, I'll tell you, I once showed Jim Cimbala a picture of Jeff when he was addicted and a picture of Jeff after he'd come to Jesus. And he said, that's the difference Jesus makes. It's obvious. You could see it on his face. You know, when someone repents of their sin and trusts Jesus to save them and receives him within, a miracle occurs. And it is such a beautiful thing that all of heaven takes notice. Jesus himself said, I tell you in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. But you see, here's the danger. The danger is that you and I can be lulled into thinking, well, you know, it works for some people, but not for others. Or you and I could be lulled into, our own lukewarmness, where we have been so overcome by besetting sins that we begin to wonder ourselves, is there something different about me? Have I really changed within? Or you and I can be so used to hearing this, what it means when we talk about, you know, being born again, hearing the language, that the miracle of what it is can be lost on us at times. Because we are creatures of habit, and you know, Jesus speaks of those who needed to return to their first love, and that is a very worthy prayer. Lord, help me to keep my first love. Help me to keep the miracle in sight. Help me to know it in my heart. Because it matters more than anything else. Imagine, just imagine, angels gathered around that new one held in the Father's arms. Just look. Just look. I mean, if it makes heaven rejoice, we need to ask ourselves, how much is my heart in tune with that? If it is heaven's joy, is it mine as well? Do you long to see people made new by Jesus? Do you pray for it? Do you risk to reach for it? To see the soul-saving power of God at work here among us and wherever we go, wherever he sends us out into the world. You see, this is where we need to let God's word and truth assure us and let it in again afresh. Here, look at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Dear ones, we need to understand this in the context of the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Because sometimes you and I was in touch with someone this past week who had four other siblings, and she was praying for three of them. And she said, you know, I've been praying for them for so long, sometimes I begin to wonder, can they change? Can anything really happen? And I know that feeling because I think of where I was with Jeff after he was into heroin addiction for so long. And I thought, maybe I'll see a change when I'm 80 years old. And I didn't know that what we were doing was we were literally at that point standing right on the edge of the precipice before God was about to do something. And I wonder, maybe with you and me, it's just that one more step. And it's that step into that place where God lifts us to a new place of grace that we've never seen before. Because folks, again, this isn't just, you know, what you believe. If you believe it, it's okay for you. We had a great Sunday school class on that this morning where Tim Keller looked at our tendency in our world today to be very relativistic. For our tendency to say, well, you know, that sort of works for you, but that's very, very narrow-minded. If you claim that Jesus is the only way, that's very narrow-minded. But the truth is, that itself is a very narrow-minded truth claim. If you simply say, well, the only way for you to become, you know, for you to be right is for you to be open-minded like I am. Do you see again how that's a binary choice? That itself is saying, oh, well, you have to believe the way I do. And yet, we are often intimidated by that, are we not? But if what God has given us is so beautiful and so worthwhile and so transformational, oh, we have to share it. We must never lose sight of this. Sometimes we're tripped up. We see Christians who are critical and judgmental, or we see into our own sins, and our adversary, the devil, would discourage us. And under those circumstances, it's easy for us sometimes to believe nothing has changed at all. But we cannot be lulled into the world's ways of seeing things. We need new eyes. So verse 16 says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Think about Paul. Think about who he was once, persecuting Christians to the very death, and then transformed. He himself met people who looked at him and judged him for his past. We can't do that. We need to be the kind of place as a church where people can come with their problems. And again, as we said earlier, you know, love them to Jesus and let him sort the rest out later. We need to see people as eternal souls that he died for, that he loves. We are called to be hopeful, tender-hearted, watchful, waiting for new life to spring forth. Look at verse 18 and following. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you even hear an even us in there? I do. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You know, you and I are to be that person who comes to that individual who's hurting and searching and longing and looking for something more, that person whose identity is lost in the world's ways of thinking and ways of fulfilling. You and I need to be that person who can come to them and just love them. And just do whatever we can individually and together to get them to Jesus. It really does become as simple as that. And you think of where he met us. And if we go with that understanding, you know, he met me as a sinner, he met me in my brokenness, and he loved me. That becomes contagious, doesn't it? I can think of so many people I've known who've been changed. Sometimes you see it all at once. Other times it may take a while to see, but deep within it's the same. It's new life in God. He breaks the power of sin and hopelessness in our hearts. And a whole new future opens wide before us as his very children, his very sons and daughters. Nothing matters more. Take a look, verse 21. Well, wait, let me, verse 20, I jumped ahead. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know, in this context, he's actually speaking to the church. He's speaking to those who are within the church who already believe in Jesus. You and I need to be reconciled to God in this, that he has sent us to love. He sent us to bring others to him. I think of a couple of years ago when I was preaching at Port City Church, and there was someone in that church who was a transsexual. She had actually started at Christian Recovery Home, which was the same place Jeffrey was, but she was self-identifying as a male. And soon it, you know, became clear, wait a minute. And instead of just sort of shunning her, you can't be here, their response was, well, we also have a woman's home here. Would you come through? And I remember when I met her, I mean, she had a beard and, you know, was dressed as a guy. Very, very interesting situation. But they loved her right where she was. And I a year or so later, I visited her. I visited the refuge ministry. It's a substance abuse ministry on Tuesday nights. And she was there. She was still there. I mean, she was still self-identifying as a male. But the interesting thing, she was there. She was there because people were meeting her where she was. They were loving her where she was. And then a couple of years later, that morning that I preached at the church, somebody came up to me afterwards. And Jeff, who was standing beside me, said, Dad, do you know who that was? And I said, no, who was that? I mean, I had this great conversation about Jesus with this person, and it was she. And what I got to see was an individual who had been loved to Jesus by a community of faith that worked with her where she was. And oh, we want to be that community of faith. Because Scripture says we all struggle in many ways, right? You and I, if it's not one sin, it's another. And some may be more respectable in human thinking, but not in God's sight. So Paul says, be reconciled to God. This is what you're to be about, church. Do you see the longing there? I hope as a church we will pray for this more, reach for this more. Seeing just one more new creation in Christ, oh, that'll keep you going. And you want to see it again and again. And the last verse in this passage describes what it is God does each time someone turns to him out of their sin. Here it is. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus did what you and I could never do. He lived an absolutely perfect life. And because he was fully God and he was fully human, he was able to carry all of the weight of our sins. He took them on himself on the cross. Everything we've done, everything we would ever do. And so there is this great exchange. He who had no sin carries ours away. And now the Father sees us as if we had lived the sinless life that Jesus lived. You and I, as we repent of our sins and turn to him, are received with open arms and receive the rewards and blessings that Jesus deserves. God's spotless sons and daughters, this is all because of God's goodness to us. It is through nothing we have done. And the more mature we are in our faith, the more we will recognize that. It is a gift we receive when we trust and believe in him. And dear one, if you've never received this gift, it can be yours right now. Have you talked with him about your sin? About the sin that all of us bear. This is not, you know, my pointing you out as a, you know, as a preacher. God has the goods on all of us. And the thing about Jesus is he meets us right there. He's the only one who does. He's the only one who can. And he can come to us as we bow before him and take our shame or take our self-righteousness, whatever it may be. And say, that's all behind you now. Walk with me. Life is waiting. Maybe you've been away from him for a while, but you do believe. And you long to return to him. Think again about Paul's words, be reconciled. It means just come to him, lay it down. Whatever it is that's been holding you back, is it worth more than Jesus? Is it worth more than Jesus? Than knowing him? Than living with his love transforming your very soul. Our Father waits with open arms for us. He waits for each of us to draw near. And oh, to see it, oh, to see it, to see the miracle again. May we pray. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. You are so good that you are not too good for us. You are so good that you bend to us to pick us up. Lord, thank you. You don't turn away from us. And Father, I pray this morning for the person who's wondering if they can come to you. Lord, please break through any thought that would say you are less than love. Lord, thank you that you love us more than anyone, and in you alone our very purpose is fulfilled. Dear one, this morning maybe you've never come to him. You can do that now, right now. Look to Jesus, his death on the cross, his rising from the tomb. is coming again. One day we must all stand before him. Will you be ready? Lord, thank you that you love us with such amazing love. In your name we pray. I'd like to ask if we could just have a couple of elders toward the back of the room. If anybody would like to pray about anything at all. Also, we'll have the prayer meeting tonight. You can put a prayer need if you can't make it up on the cross, and we'll make sure it's prayed for. But let's just, as we finish out this hymn, let's make it a prayer as well. Let's stand together.